Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, all the listeners out there in the highways and the byways, I would like to welcome you to another Theologically Speaking, and I'm your host, Jose Dorsey. You know, every time I come on this show, I'm just so humbled and honored by those that tune in and follow us and those that are supporting this ministry. Certainly want to also thank the executive producer, James Brown Jr., for all of the different opportunities that he provides for us to share this worldwide platform. Listen, before we go into any material and before we discuss anything, you know, it's very custom for us to just go before the throne of grace and just ask God to lay his blessings upon us. So wherever you are, if you just draw your mind in from all the distractions, if you right now just begin to just focus and concentrate on Christ Jesus and just begin to meditate on God, if you will, communing with him for this very brief word of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for all that you've allowed us to experience today. We thank you, God, for allowing us to see another day that we had not seen. You created this day. You made this moment specific for us. And so, God, we worship you and we give you all honor, glory, and praise. Thank you for this moment that you've given us. We pray that as we stand on this mountaintop experience, that we share and expound principles and words that are thought-provoking, that are stimulating to those who are both believers and unbelievers, that eventually, God, they'll get to the place where we'll all become believers. And those of us who are believers will seek to improve our lives through making more contact with you. Continue, Lord, to open up our hearts and our minds to receive more. Continue to allow us, God, to have the strength to persevere in spite of a cold, dark world that seeks to devour us. Lord, we are your children. We belong to you, and we trust you and believe you for every outcome, every process, even in the rough times we'll be going through, even during times when colleges and high schools are being shot up and we can't understand why, even during times when finances are limited and our food sources and our other resources have become limited. God, we trust and believe you, because you're a God that specializes in making ways out of no way. So now we ask that you dispatch your anointing, cover us with your grace and your mercies as we partake of this Theologically Speaking talk. Bless us and keep us in the hour thereof. We'll uplift our hands to you, give you all honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, we gladly say amen. Listen, on today, I am very blessed to have a special guest. One that has been on my show before, one that I know very dearly, also would like to share with you. I can't keep her all to myself. I have to share it with you. But first, before we go there, just want to let you know that we're so humbled to bring this ministry, an extension of our church family from the Center of Spirit and Truth church family from out of Detroit. Right now we're worshiping over in Skillsville. Thanking for Ron and Yvonne Baker for allowing us to be there at Skillsville. A lot of Detroiters know them. We worship right there in the gymnasium, and I must say, it has been an experience being there thus far. They were humble enough to open up their hearts as well as their location to us, and we've had some really good services. So if you're ever looking for some place to come worship, we invite you. We welcome you to just come out and be a part of our services. They're very down to earth, come as you are, kind of like good feeling church that's all about family and preaching and teaching the word of God. So if you so feel inclined to join us, we would love to have you, and know that you will find no one there outside of family. We're all your family, as we are all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Now, I just like to let you know, listen, you can feel free to reach out to us if you have any concerns or you need anything as far as what we talked about on our show, as far as the subject matter, or if you might even wanted prayer or needed someone to just listen to during your time in need. Feel free to reach out to us, 313-221-7600. I'm Jose. I'm the pastor of Center of Spirit and Truth. Once again, you can reach me at 313-221-7600. All right, I don't want to keep this gift from you. I want to be able to share it with you, and that's none other than my special guest on this evening. And what we're going to be talking about is Christian counseling and life coaching. And so today I would like to present to some and introduce to others Sierra Dorsey. Yes, the Dorsey is repetitive. You know, I know her from somewhere. Amen. Very beautiful young lady. She attended a very awesome college. I'm going to let her tell you all about it. Christian college, where she learned Christian counseling and different things that she would like to do in her endeavor of Christian counseling as well as life coaching. So I would like for her to come on and just begin to tell us more about herself. Sierra, are you there? Why don't you chime in and just begin to tell us about yourself and familiarize yourself with our listeners. Hello. All right, I'm going to give her a minute to chime in. Perhaps maybe she got lost in the shuffle, but we're so elated because one of the things that she's going to talk to us about is Christian counseling as well as life coaching. Many times we get so caught in the emotional aspect of our lives, and we don't have a way to put these things into spiritual perspective. So one of the things that a Christian counselor would do is be able to care for people in God's way. Hello? Yes, are you there, C?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I kind of was picking up the mantle when talking about Christian counseling, but I would like for you to just share, just kind of familiarize yourself with everybody, introduce yourself, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, my name is Sierra Dorsey. I am a member of the Center of Spirit and Truth. I also am I'm a Christian counselor, as well as a life coach. I guess we wanted to just kind of shed some light on today in regards to what exactly is a Christian counselor and life coach. What I call myself is an integrative Christian counselor and life coach. If you would allow me to, I just want to share some things about that with you on today. So thank you first for just allowing me to share this platform. It really truly is an honor that I get to talk about two things that I'm passionate about, which is Christ and counseling. I am the owner or co-owner of what's called Elevated Counseling and Coaching, and we exist to provide help to people in a hurting world. We want to introduce them to the love of Christ. Our mission with Elevated Counseling and Coaching is to provide comprehensive, integrated mental health and coaching services that's going to promote an increased quality of life and a decrease in stigma. So what we have is individuals, couples, family, and group therapy that's available. We also, and I'm very happy to announce this, we have a dynamic life coach that's coming on board with us, none other than Mr. Jose Dorsey himself. He'll be joining us to help elevate all that we do to the next level and joining us in the belief that with hard work consistency and God, anybody can live a satisfying life.
You got feedback?
Yeah, it's better now. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry about that. Now, I really like what you said there, because I'm kind of intrigued about the counseling. I especially like what you said about that dynamic life coach. Shameless plug. Listen, so why don't you tell us what you mentioned integrative Christian counseling. Can you kind of like help us understand what is integrated Christian counseling?
Yeah, so in the simplest form, integrative Christian counseling is the practice of psychology that really places the Christian worldview as the priority and the final say. So if we were to create a spectrum, right, we'll put nouthetic counseling, which kind of rejects mainstream psychology, on one end, and then let's say we put early Freud secular psychotherapy, which attempts to kind of explain away God, on the other end, an effective integrative counselor would meet somewhere in the middle. So now I can already hear the critics quoting 2 Timothy 3:16-17, you know, all scriptures are inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproach, for correction, for training in righteousness, that a man may be adequately equipped for all good works. And I do say yes and amen to that. However, it's not the use of what is viewed as a secular methodology or intervention is not inherently wrong. It's like the over-reliance and the independent use of them that is. In fact, Jose, I would say that we would be doing individuals a disservice if we were to eliminate some of these secular methodologies or interventions. I even say that we would probably be not good stewards over the knowledge and resources that we have available to us. So as a clinician, I can see how research and even from personal testimonies that secular interventions are successful in the abatement of symptoms, right? For example, imagine how many families have benefited from understanding sensory stimulation when they're working with a child who has autism. So when interventions don't contradict scripture, they absolutely should be integrated into our care. But as a Christian, I also understand that the underlying cause of pathology, which is sin, separation from God, that has to be addressed as well. So therefore, we can't eliminate the gospel from therapy either. We absolutely have to integrate that into our care also. At the end of the day, effective integrative counseling would result in dependence on the Lord. Salvation sanctification is going to provide clients with skills that help alleviate distress and positively change behaviors and relationships. Ultimately, there's like nothing new under the sun, right? S-O-N. Scriptures give us a lot of practical wisdom that we can get from the Bible on how to think about ourselves, how we relate to others, how we can live our life. It teaches us how to cope. It talks about depression, anxiety, suicide, you name it, it's in there. I mean, like, if you ask me, like, the discipline of psychology, social work, counseling, coaching, however you want to call it, it's simply borrowed truths from the Word of God and attempted to reclassify them. I say, give us back our motto. We came up with this. Thank you for the extras, but give that back to us. So I know we got, like, limited time. If you go to my Facebook page, what I can do is I'll put a list of supporting scriptures to go along with some of these thoughts, since it is theologically speaking with Jose. I don't want you to think this is just all Sierra's ideas. But the bottom line is, when we take new scripture to shape our worldview, and we can take positive aspects of teachings and resources, it can be very therapeutic, healing, and ultimately transformational. And that's what integrative Christian counseling is here for.
That was That was a lot of mouthfuls right there. All right. So what's the difference between a counselor and a coach? Like, how do I know which one is right? So, you know, when will I be able to tell whether or not a life coach or a Christian counselor is the right choice for me?
Okay. So there's a lot of overlap in counseling and coaching. So what I suggest to people who are trying to make this decision is think about what actually brought you to this point. Is this matter causing you distress? Is it interrupting your daily functioning? Did you notice maybe like an increase in negative behaviors or a breakdown in various relationships around you? Then I would say you might need to see a counselor. Counselors are healthcare professionals that can help diagnose and resolve problematic beliefs, behaviors. They deal with relationship issues and sometimes even like physical responses. They typically work from the why through the how. So they're going to take you back. They want to look at the childhood and get a better understanding of how you formed your way to where you are right now, and then they move you to the how. So if whatever brought you here was like a desire to change, say you're kind of feeling maybe a little humdrum, you've been working on your job for 20-plus years, you think you might need a push or some motivation, accountability, or even just wanting to strengthen a skill. You want to strengthen your ability to do for you there. So life coaches will collaborate with you to kind of clarify your goals and identify obstacles. So they do that in order to create an action plan to kind of move you forward. Life coaches typically work from the where to the how. They take your starting point as like an acceptable neutral ground. It's like, come as you are. I don't need to worry about all those things that happened before. Here you are right now. Let's make a plan, and let's get you to where you want to go. Does that make sense?
I think it makes sense. Why don't you, I know this is kind of, you know, might be a little left field. Well, maybe not. But I would like to, I want you to share with the audience about your concept of the friendipus as it comes to life coaching. I thought that was a really interesting term that you came up with.
So that was actually a name that was given to me by a dear friend of mine. We would just kind of talk, and she would call me her friendipus. She said she would always say that one day when I got out of school and licensed, that she was going to give me her insurance card so that I could bill her, and I'm still waiting on that because that has happened, so just throwing that out there. But she said I was her friendipus, her friend and a therapist, and I really like that because that's one of the things that I built my practice on. The relationship between a client and the therapist is very important. You're going to be sharing some very deep, intimate things with this individual. There's got to be a lot of trust that's involved in that. You know, on both sides, the counselor is going to want to trust you to be honest with them so that they can effectively help you. You're going to want to trust the counselor to not be biased in situations and to hold you accountable and to tell you the truth in many times. So that friend relationship is very important, with boundaries, of course. You do have to establish those. But I think that that's kind of where my strength is in the practice. And I think that that's how a lot of change happens, when you develop that friendship relationship with boundaries. And make that clear, with boundaries, you develop that deep bond.
So how would you determine actually whether or not a person needs a life coach? Will they come to you and they say, hey, look, I want a life coach or I want a counselor? What happens as far as the choosing of which type of service that you'll provide a person that comes to your practice?
So we'll typically have an intake session. You'll tell me what it is exactly you're here for, and there's a lot of questions that comes on that intake paperwork to give us a bigger picture of what direction we would want to go in. Ultimately, it's going to be your decision, right? If you decide that this is what you want, then that's the direction we will go in. I do have the option to decide if it's not a good fit for me to move you in that direction, then I have that option as well. But it's really just about those first couple of can really make the decision on what will be the best fit for you. we do integrative counseling, so we're going to want to ask a lot of questions because we're going to be pulling from a lot of different theoretic orientations to customize a program that's going to work for you. And it's not to say that coaches don't actually take a look back. Sometimes it's necessary to go ahead and take a look back, but a coach is really more motivated to just get you in towards that solution focus. It's goal-oriented. So it's really just going to be determined after maybe a couple of sessions, and sometimes it may even flip. You know, we might start a counseling relationship and say, you know, I think that coaching probably is going to work best for you, and we can kind of switch you over into that modality, or vice versa. Maybe you come in saying, nah, I'm okay, but we notice some things we probably need to address before we can get to that point, and we would have that conversation at that time. Should we really develop more of a counseling, psychotherapy type relationship? Did I hope I didn't lose you? Jose?
Oh, I'm sorry. So look, I'm hook, line, and sinker into the program. I'm set. I want to do an intake to determine whether or not I'm Christian counseling or maybe a coaching. Or you said integrative. So I'm hook, line, and sinker in that. Tell me what does a session look like? So when I come to your practice, what can I expect?
You can expect myself or whomever you decide to sit with to be extremely nosy. They don't want to know all your business, just being quite honest with you. And the reason for that is that we want to get the best possible picture that's available to us to help with the best possible plan to help you achieve your goals. A lot of questions that are going to be asked on that first session. Sometimes a lot of people are intimidated by that because they don't know what to expect. But counselors kind of feel the same way, too. We want to just get to know you. We don't know what to expect from you as well. So it's just going to be a lot of Q&A and just getting the understanding of what it is that you're looking for and what direction you would like to go in.
Okay, that sounds awesome. Now, as we begin to wind down our time, hopefully we haven't lost anyone here, but we may basically get into the point where we try to help people see that, you know, biblical understanding is good, but we also have to be able to, God has given us certain resources to tap into, and I think one of those things is giving people discernment that can help you put the scriptures into perspective to help rule and govern our lives. But while we're here, I just want to give you another opportunity. Is there something else that you would like to basically share with us? What is that final thought that you would like to leave with us before you leave us?
Well, wait, I do always like to leave a little nugget when I'm in sessions with people to kind of carry them through until the next time, something that they can implement. I actually will be remiss if I didn't mention the tragedy that happened in Florida and how our hearts and our prayers go out to those individuals that are directly impacted by those events. And there's also some consideration for the world around them as well and how that might be kind of overwhelming. We live in a world where it's very small because we have exposure to almost everything instantly. And what I would like to just offer is for everyone to kind of take a shift in focus and try to focus on the good. One of the ways that we can be kind to ourselves is to not let the pain of the world overwhelm us. And this is not to say that we need to be insensitive or indifferent to it. We do need to feel deep sorrow, and sorrow can help us cultivate compassion for others, as well as for ourselves, and even motivate us to contribute in ways that we can. But getting too far into them, into our own personal distress, doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help ourselves either. So balance is key. We need to remind ourselves everywhere in this world around us, and they're working to make this world a better place, and so is God. So if we can just shift our focus to the good. I always refer people to Philippians 4, one of my favorite scriptures, and I can read it quickly. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and what you have heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." And I know that that's sometimes very difficult, but to know that the God of peace will be with you when you are able to simply shift your focus onto the good things that he's provided for you can be of a great benefit when we're dealing with overwhelming violence and destruction that's in our world. If we're shifting our focus, because there is plenty good, God's peace will be with you. So I just want to offer that to those, maybe it's the world around you or maybe it's your world directly. Shift your focus to those good things and see how your life is enhanced by that.
Well, thank you for being our guest on this evening. Thank you for sharing with us about your practice. But my listeners, I really just want you to see and know, even more so, if you're looking for a place that you can that you need to go to, someone you need to talk to, get things in order and help bring perspective to your lives. Of course, we would be honored if you were to come to Elevated Counseling and Coaching. But also, just know that sometimes you can be saved, you can be anointed, called of God, you can have a strong a presence or hand of God upon your life and still find yourself dealing with some psychological issues or still find yourself needing a touch of love from somebody that can help you orient you in the right direction. And I keep thinking about Elijah. When Elijah was challenged by Jezebel, and she was hunting for him, and one of the things that we found is that Elijah, as anointed as he was, as powerful as he was in how God had used him in his life to show up and show out against those prophets of Baal, he still was at a place where he was depressed. And so God himself was able to actually speak to him in different ways and get him on the right track. Know that God can sometimes and will provide different avenues for us to take advantage of, tools, people that have been going through different schools and different understanding of life, different models that can help us in our Christian walk so that we ourselves, we can be emotionally and spiritually healthy. Sometimes even us men, and I have to admit that, sometimes us men, we kind of shirk at going to see someone and going to get healthy. But I just want life coaching. Sometimes you might need that extra perspective. Maybe it's in your marriage or in your family or just in how you look at life. But I would just like to implore us to find ourselves in that place where we can get that added help that we need instead of suffering in silence and suffering and thinking that no one understands you or no one understands or knows about your plight. As Sierra said tonight, there's nothing new under the sun, the S-O-N. Certainly the Bible speaks about nothing being new under the S-U-N, but God knows everything. There's nothing new under the S-O-N. So please bring those petitions before us. Allow us to help you, help get you to a place where you're healthy and you're in a place where you can be that person that God has called you to be. Listen, this has been our time. I would like to thank our guests, Sierra Dorsey, and I'd like to also thank you. You make this possible. Thank you for joining us at another Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. God bless.